All right, Cricket Day. What's also special about this day? Well, yeah. I mean, vis-a-vis this course.
Oh, God, is this your favorite thing?
Right, this is your first time you actually write up a paper section. What are you actually writing up this time? Has anyone looked well enough ahead to know that?
Getting results and methods.
Results and methods. I actually believe you. I don't have it memorized myself. But notice that it is not a complete report that you're writing this time, right? And how are we writing reports? Individually or as groups? Individually, right. I don't think that I've yet put a slot on Blackboard to upload it via SafeAssign.
No.
Okay, so if that doesn't appear within a day, feel free to email me and say what the hell is going on. Of course, none of you is going to think about this by tomorrow, right?
No.
Considering when the quizzes are usually taken. By the way, speaking of the quiz, I promised an explanation about the one question of the timing. I wanted to talk about that anyway, though, because that's the proper procedure for today. So remind me to, but I don't want to talk about it quite yet because I want to get a couple things out of the way first. Everyone get to the quiz on time? Okay. And are you able to see, are you able to go back after to the previous ones? I think I might know why, and I can probably fix that. I think it's just because the column that it, I've hidden the column only because it becomes confusing, because the column where your grade, your score automatically gets put when you complete the quiz is not actually, is a separate column from the one where I display your score. And that is part of your calculated total. And so if it doesn't confuse you, that there are going to be two separate columns that say quiz one, two separate ones that say quiz two, and so on, I can probably reveal them after the due date. Anyway, what we're doing today with these crickets is really the overall theme is what? Right, allometry, as opposed to isometry, right? What does isometry, when the word is used in an ecological sense, what does isometry refer to? Right, isometry ecologically is the situation in which growth of an organism results in a proportional growth of all the individual parts, but also a proportional growth in other measurements like respiration or basically anything that you can measure. For instance, if you double the size, everything else would double as well. That would be isometry. But that's usually not what we see in actual organisms, right? Instead, we have deviation from isometry, which is one way of defining what allometry is, right? Allometry is non-proportional change in some measurement with a change in size. And that's why in the write-up, you know, you have the two drawings of skeletons that are drastically different sized organisms, but when you scale one of them up so that it's as big as the other, it doesn't look the same as the other one because the individual parts did not scale proportionally or isometrically. They scaled allometrically. Frogs, by the way, are pretty close to being isometric in terms of their morphology, not necessarily their physiology or other kinds of measurements. But what I mean by this is if you look at a small frog and a large frog, it does look like it's just a proportional change. In other words, you look at a big frog far away and a small frog close up, they'll look very similar to each other in those pictures because they scale fairly isometrically. So part of what we're doing today is to, first of all, demonstrate that activity in these crickets is not isometric, or activity, actually I should say non-activity due to temperature is not isometric, but further than that, you're trying to figure out some idea of scaling, right? And here's where the little bit of math comes into play. If you have isometric relationship, you're just going to have a linear relationship, correct? When you plot y, which is whatever you're measuring, as a change in x, which is some measurement of size, you should see just a linear relationship if it's isometric, and therefore it's a simple y equals mx plus b relationship, right? Real data, though, often of this type, when you try to relate something to size, change in size, they usually end up not being linear, and therefore harder to deal with graphically and statistically, right? Which is why we don't usually keep them in nonlinear form. Instead, we linearize the data. We plot them in such a way that they actually end up being linear, even though if they were plotted normally, meaning on a linear scale, linear in y and linear in x, then they wouldn't be linear. They would be curved. So what is the, when we're doing this allometry bit, what is the usual way of linearizing the data? What kind of transformation is used? A log transformation, and it's a log-log transformation rather than a semi-log transformation. In a semi-log transformation, you would take the log of y and plot that against x itself, not the log of x. But here we're wanting to plot the log of x and y both, right? And so, does everyone understand why that linearizes the data? What is the general form of a power relationship between x and y? Y equals what? Well, first you have, before x, what do you have? Some constant, which we can call anything we want, really. A times x to the what? Some power, which is some other number, which we can call B, for instance. Right? If you keep in mind, or put in mind, maybe for the first time, the properties of logarithms, let's review those really quickly. If you have the log of a product, let's call them M and N, that equals what? What's another way of expressing the log of a product? It's equal to the sum of the logs of the factors. Right? In other words, that's equal to the log of M plus the log of N. Okay? For instance, if you consider 100, 100 could be expressed as the product of 10 and 10, right? So the log of 100 equals the log of 10 times 10, which should equal the log of 10 plus the log of 10. What is the log of 10? No. When we use log versus natural log, that really means that we're using the base 10 log. You can use any base you want in logarithmic equations. But the word LOG, when nothing is put below it, that is implied that what you're working with as a base for the logarithm is 10. All right? As opposed to E when you use LN, natural log. So the log base 10 of 10 is what? What does a log mean? Well, the log is the number that you have to raise 10 to in order to get that number. Right? So what do you have to raise 10 to in order to equal 10? 1. So the log of 10 is 1. Just like the natural log of E is 1. And the log base 2 of 2 is 1. Right? So this is 1 plus 1 equals 2. Well, look at the original one, the log of 100. The log of 100 is the number that you have to raise 10 to in order to get 100. 100 is 10 squared, so the log of 100 equals 2. So this shows you that that's true, right? Not only for this specific instance, it's generally true. By the way, similarly, since multiplication and division are inverse operations, if you have the log of m divided by n, what does that equal? Right, not the log of m minus n, the log of m minus the log of n. Okay? So just as multiplication is the inverse of division, addition is the inverse of subtraction. Well, anyway, these are just general log properties. But this helps you explain the linearization. If this makes sense to you, and I demand that it does, then we have here y equals a product, right? A is one factor, x to the b is another factor. So if we want to log transform this equation, we take the logarithm of one side, and for it to still be an equality, we have to therefore take the logarithm of the other side. The logarithm of the left side is pretty easy. The log of y equals the log of a times x to the b, right? But that's a product. And by the previous property, what I just told you, when you have the log of a product, that's equal to the sum of the logs of the factors. So that's the log of A plus the log of X to the B. Right? The log of A, since A was just a constant, which depends on the actual equation that you're using, but it doesn't change, it's not a variable. So since it's a constant, the log of A is simply another constant. The log of x to the b needs to be processed using another property of logarithms, right? When you have the log of something raised to a power, that's equal to what?
You bring the exponent to the log.
Right, so in general, the log of x to the m equals m, right? Times the log of x. So you bring the exponent down and just multiply it by the log of the number itself with raised to the 1, or not raised. All right, so that means that this whole thing is log of y equals b times the log of x plus the log of A. Right? I just commuted them, which you're allowed to do with addition. And the reason I commuted them is because this now, you can see, is in the form of y equals mx plus b. Except you have log y is taking the place of y. Log x is taking the place of x. But you still have something multiplied by that x factor, which is b in this case, confusingly. I should have used different letters. And then you have some constant hanging off of it, which is the y-intercept. But this b in my example, is known as what? That would be the slope. It's actually playing the role of m, right? The b is the exponent in the original power equation, but whatever that exponent is, when you log transform it, because of the properties of log, come down to the front and become a coefficient. Well, the coefficient in a linear equation is m, the slope. And therefore, since this is of the form y equals mx plus b, when you plot log of y versus log of x, it should be a linear plot. Doesn't mean that it's going to be a one-to-one ratio. In other words, it's not a 45-degree angle necessarily, nor, in fact, is it even a positive relationship. It could still be a negative relationship if b in this case is negative. But b tells you the steepness of the line, and therefore how much of an effect a change in y has, or a change in log of x, I should say, has in log of y. Does all that make sense? Okay, well, it's not just a matter of making a nice, easier graph to make that you do this transformation. You also do it for statistical reasons, right? So that you can then use linear regression, which you need to do once you actually process your data, which you do away from here, right? All you do in here is collecting your data. But that's the whole idea. You linearize things to see whether your null hypothesis is true, to see if your prediction is true. So, does everyone understand the specific equation for size that was given? Which is, what is that specific equation? Y equals what? Y equals a to the xb is just a general equation, but what is the specific power equation that was given that relates volume and either mass, I mean volume or mass, which can be the same thing because they're related by density, and surface area? Didn't he give you that equation in there anywhere? Yeah, y equals some constant times mass to the 2/3, right? Do you see why it's 2/3? You see why the power is 2/3 in that example? Does anyone? That's exactly right. Area is really just length squared, right? That's how you calculate area. Distance squared. Distance times distance. Whereas volume is distance times distance times distance. Distance cubed. So, a surface to volume relationship or a surface to mass relationship correspondingly should have a power of 2/3, allometrically speaking. Alright? So, just the fact that it's predicted by geometry, by math, to be 2/3 does not mean that's the way real animals are going to actually plot out. And so what you're trying to determine when you do a regression is whether the slope is statistically different from what you expect from the mathematical relationship that you're using as your model. Okay? That's the whole idea basically behind the processing of the data that you will generate today. So the rest of the time, and we're supposed to fill the time, is to collect data. meaning that you can't really work to get out early today by working efficiently. Working efficiently will give you better data because it will give you more data. But work until we're supposed to go home. Just keep doing the same thing with more and more crickets. That will build up your N, right, your number of subjects, and therefore give you more robust statistics. But I think it's probably also better if we share the data and make it one big datum set. But we need to be a little bit more careful than we were last time when we did this, because when I actually was going through the grading, I noticed that what was supposed to be the same datum set for everyone came in a lot of varieties. So I think part of this is that you're writing raw data onto worksheets. You're not supposed to be doing that. Where are you supposed to be writing your raw data? Into a notebook that you have made very well labeled tables for. So label explicitly what every number is so there's no doubt, because groups might you make their tables up slightly differently, but when you get your numbers together, you should be able to put them all, you should be able to make sense of them all, and everyone should have the same datum set. All right, so goose your crickets up until, say, about 15 minutes before we're supposed to leave, and then get together as groups and make sense of your data before leaving. Does that make sense? Okay. I think the procedure is pretty self-explanatory, though, so go ahead and do that.